Okay, where are we on? Reish Lamed Tes. Okay, let's see where these questions, we're dealing with Tzadik V'Ra'lo, as a hemshech of getting into the Sugya of Isurim, trying to understand what's going on here. We're trying to get to the depths of the Sugya to the best of our ability. Again, we can't really understand Hashem's ways, but what we have been revealed and what we need to understand, we need to understand. Even when you understand, you don't really understand. It's important to get this. If you think you've understood it and you've got it clear, then you're really in a mess. Because you can't understand Hashem's ways. You have to understand what you can understand and work with that, understanding that you haven't understood. Okay? You'll have to live with that paradox. Put it in the medley mix with all the other paradoxes you have. Okay, let's go over this again. The emes amru kishayle zu hishayle sashayle shel abriya. These questions are asking me, these questions go to the, this goes to the core of the whole briya. Ashtana nevas mikach. Shekol mal seichel. This question flows out of the following place. Anybody with a seichel, kolod einu shakur b'tayvus behemius. He hasn't been completely drowned by the physical lusts. He's still thinking of it. Baruch Hashem, we're in a base midrash. Hopefully, everybody here has got a bit of seichel left. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I have a proof that everybody here is al seichel, because otherwise, why would you be here? No guys, not if al seichel comes here. There's much nicer things to be doing out there. Yeah, even the coffee's better out there than here. And the coffee is good. Cups might not be so okay. Aval. Yodaya be yodaya brura. He knows clearly. There's a bonus loilom. That piece doesn't move. We're talking intellectually. I'm not talking about where you're holding in reality. But everybody knows intellectually that that's true. But leon yotoch and acheretz, it is not possible anything else. The shem shabbais machriz alab gabav labanai. The same as this table said, somebody made it. So when you look at the world, you start investigating the world, you understand there's a bayra. It didn't pop out of nowhere. When you have that imunah, then there's no questions, there's no doubts. We're not holding there, by the way. We have sveikas and doubts, even though intellectually we know this truth. Ula, yachadim zois. But sometimes Hashem does things that we just don't get it. We have a hard time getting warm and cuddly with a guy that built Auschwitz. Let dugma. What do I mean? You have a mitzvah after Hashem is okay. Yeah? And we know that Hashem is Einod Milvado, who also is Yasa Kolomasim. So who made Auschwitz? Hashem.
But also,
it's not me, it's Hashem. But you can't say it's not me, it's Hashem.
But Auschwitz
also. No, because I had no Bechira over Auschwitz. Auschwitz Hashem did.
It's not the same.
Let's go through to my Yerushalayim. I have a Bechira decision. Then it's up to me. You can't blame Hashem. What does it mean? Hashem is also Oisev Yata Kolamasi. What does it mean? Correct. Except my Bechira is not Hashem. My Bechira has nothing to do with Hashem. You made Auschwitz? Oh. You made a Bechira decision to book? Ain't Nazim. I told you what Rabbi Yitzchak Grzesinski said. Rabbi Yitzchak Grzesinski Zatzal, the son of the Torah of Rom. He lived here in Bnei Brak. His son-in-law is a neighbor of mine. He was there. You have to get this clear. Otherwise, you're stepping out of the first of the animamins. You step in. This is the hardest thing in the world to grip. אני מאמין באמונה שלמה, שהבוירי יסבוך שבוי, הוא בוירה הומניק לכל הברואים. שנייה, והוא עושה, עושה ויעשה את כל המעשים, לבודוי, only him, there is nothing else. I don't know what I mean, you know what it means? There's nothing in the world except you. There isn't even me. In your world, there's you and Hashem. I don't exist in your world other than a representation of Hashem. Even your wife, doesn't have Bechira Klapa you. She's Hashem. It's not about how he exists. He exists because HaKobid HaShemayim, Chutzvira HaShemayim, in his world of Bechira, he exists. But outside of that, it's all Hashem. That's Poshut. That's the first of the Nilamik. There's Ma Bechira and then there's Hashem. Everything out of outside of Ma Bechira is Hashem. Ma Bechira, Hashem says, you have. I don't interfere in that world. Where you have Bechira, which is not that much, where you have Bechira, you have Bechira. Outside of that, there's nothing. Of course. Well, one second. You're touching on a very, you're touching on a very interesting, complex, subtle sugya. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim, Machronim. If you want to look at it, Rav Tetz in his book goes into it beautifully about how Ma Bechira can affect you connected the Rots and Hashem. I'm not going into that now. That's already out of it's an interesting philosophical halachic discussion. I'm not going into that now. I'm just dealing with the first of the Yud Gimeli Kori. I'm glad you raised this because you have to get clear. Because if you don't get this clear, you're missing the first of the Yud Gimeli Kori. This is very important to understand. Hashem does everything, except your Bechira.
Oh.
Correct. Our thinking doesn't always get this right. But I'm talking about in the level of Emunah. I said this. In Seichel, we understand this and we've got it clear. We don't live like that. When a guy bumps you with his car, you get and you scream at him. Why are you screaming at him? Look, Shualav. Shnia, you can take him to Beis Din. We don't know why you can take him to Beis Din. That's a kasher as well. Why are you taking him to Beis Din? Look, Shualav. The Torah says you have to take him to Beis Din. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about in the essence of the Anemiamin. You first have to go to the Shreirish, understand the Shreirish. That's the Emes Lamitoy. The way it manifests is full with complications. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa didn't have this problem. He lived there. We don't live here. We're far, far away from this. Tamim. Rabbi Hanin Mendoza doesn't understand the difference between lighting vinegar and oil. Because oil doesn't burn because of its molecular structure, and vinegar doesn't not burn because of its molecular structure. That's where we live. We live in that world. He's outside that world already. For him, oil and vinegar are exactly the same thing. They're a tzivu of Hashem. And if Hashem's mitzvah, this will burn, but some of that will burn. What's the problem?
In our life,
And we have to live. Okay.
Nothing. Then the oil burns for us, and
vinegar doesn't.
Look
what? Because Hashem built a world, okay, that has many layers to it. And in the world where we're living, where we're holding, we don't have the ability to penetrate and go beyond that teva. We live in teva. But if a person will raise himself above the teva, like great people did, then teva is not a restriction to you. Rav Chaim Kanievsky needs to look at a certain locust that flies into his room when he needs it. Mabayabaze. That's not a nace, that's teva. Because teva and nace are the same thing. I'm talking intellectually now. I'm not holding, I have no idea what this looks like. If I walk into this wall, I bump my nose. Rav Chaim Kanievsky wants to walk through the wall, he walks through the wall. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair needs to cross a river, so the river splits. What's the problem? Because he's dealing with Hashem. He's not dealing with nature. You get it? All miracles are like this. We're trying to understand the Sugya of Tzadik V'Ra'alu. We don't understand it. I'm focusing on one Nakuda. No, it's very complicated. All I'm saying is I'm trying to just put the pieces on the table. First of all, it's dependent on where you're holding, but I'm trying to understand the theory. Means there is nothing other than Hashem. It's all Hashem. We live in a world where it doesn't look like that, and that's where the problems start. There were people, David HaMelech didn't have a problem with this. David HaMelech knew that he had enemies, and David HaMelech knew that it's all Hashem, and he was dealing with Hashem. And we don't understand. No, that's Bechira. Avedus is Bechira. You're into Bechira. We don't understand how there's Ra in the world either. We'll see. No, I can't confess. All I'm saying is a call Mishamayim. Anyone who's there that Muna understands, there were no Nazis. There ain't Nazis, because ain't no Milvadoi. You can't have Nazis and ain't no Milvadoi. It's here in
Manalbay.
He was holding there. He was holding with an Imam in Ben Mishlema.
You don't see anything. You don't see a table. You see Hashem.
You see a table as a manifestation of Hashem's Rotson in the world. You see Bepchik as a manifestation of Hashem's Rotson in the world, not as a separate independent entity. This detached from Hashem. It's all Rotson Hashem. There's nothing here that's not Rotson Hashem. That's what it means, Yesh Mayim. That's what Shabbos says. What does Shabbos say? Hashem created the world, Yesh Mayim. It means nothing in the world isn't Rotson Hashem. So this table is a manifestation of Rotson Hashem. And I see the nature and I see the base. Shalom Bechina teaches you how to do that, how to look at the world, scientifically look at it, understand all the unbelievable miracles that Hashem does, and see that as a manifestation of the Chokhmah and the Chesed of the Boy, not as some independent natural force. That's alone, no one helps him. I call Hashem. Now you break that theory, you put it into the world, it gets complicated because, you know, yeah, that's what we're grappling with. But that's the first of the anim of the animamins, which contains all the animamins, actually, if you look carefully. Without that, you're off the charts. You're not part of Kaddish, you're not Bekoimus Gomel. The claim is gomo if you think anything other than what that first army says. Maybe it was Shreigeg, but we paskin that Apikoris to Shreigeg is an Apikoris. Moskenechton, it's not some ass. The claim is we paskin that an Apikoris to Shreigeg is an Apikoris. Because you don't know and you don't understand and you think you're not Apikoris to Shreigeg. Okay, that's on a subject again. Say, look. I know the Torah is all one, but I don't know how to deal with it. I'm just trying to understand one that could hear. Everybody intellectually, at least, even though he hasn't brought it down into his heart and he's not living with it real, when there's no milk in the fridge, he has a meltdown. If you know that it's all from Hashem and it's all for your good, you don't have a meltdown no matter what happens. But we're not holding there. We live in real, not ideal. But in the ideal, we understand there's nothing other than Hashem. It's all Hashem. That's what it means. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does that mean? You say Shema every day. Then you say Echad. What do you mean? There's one Hashem and not two. That's not Echad. Echad means infinite. There is nothing other than Hashem. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There is nothing other than Hashem. Hashem is infinite. It's infinite. There's nothing outside of you. Unless infinite doesn't mean what I was taught that it meant when I was 13 years old. Infinite means infinite. What exists outside of infinite? Nothing. So if Hashem's infinite, everything is Him. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He's one and there is nothing else. Now the Rambam asks, if that's true, why does Paro get punished? Because he was just Hashem. And why the Nazis get punished? And why is Hitler burning to death for all eternity with incredible Yisurim? Okay, so the philosophers have dealt with those kashas. It was all just Hashem. Why they get punished? He just did the rots in Hashem. Why he should get a reward? Punished, be rewarded. Hashem says there's going to be an angel. They're going to torture the Jews and whatever. Who said Paro? Paro just did what Hashem wanted him to do. The Rambam asks kasha already. Don't learn this one. Lots of philosophical problems to deal with here. But it doesn't take away one iota of the fact that it has to be that if Hashem's infinite, there's nothing other than Him. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what the Shema is telling you. Yud Kei Vav Kei is everything. There's nothing else outside of Him. In that world, Hashem makes a miracle called Bechira. And you try to understand how those two things work together. You can't understand that. The Rambam says it already. Eif Shalavim. How do you have infinite and you still have your Bechira? It's impossible. That's why the Goyim don't believe in Bechira. We believe in Bechira because we have Imunah. Hashem tells us you have Bechira. We believe we have Bechira. You go a bit deeper, you dredge into your das. You know you have Bechira. Same as you know you exist. Same as you know there's Hashem. Without your five senses, somewhere else you grasp this. with another faculty called Das, but that Das doesn't have access to the five senses that you have to grip inside yourself. But they don't have Bechira. They don't have Bechira because they can't have Bechira. Show me Bechira. Prove Bechira to me. You can't prove it. They write books proving that you don't have Bechira, that everything's just fate and preordained. How something could be preordained in an evolutionary accident, I don't know. But they're drunk, so when you're drunk, you say a lot of things that don't make sense. But for us, it's partial. Hashem's infinite. You have Bechira. It's a stira. Okay? Hashem runs his world with din v'rachamim. Impossible. 100% not shaykh. But he says he does. So we accept that without understanding it. You've got to have din and rachamim together. They're mutually exclusive. So there are lots of dilemmas like this that we don't understand. That's part of the problem of being finite in an infinite world. We don't understand everything. But it's all, if you don't, you don't. I can't help you. Either you do or you don't. Same as you know you exist. If you don't know you exist, I can't help you. Prove to me you know you exist. Why not? So you can't prove to me you have Bechira either. Bechira is that same knowledge that you know that you exist without being able to prove that you know it. That's when you know Bechira. It's called Das. Tov ani lo nechnas lasugi of Das. I'm not going into the sugi of Das now. That's an hour cheer. I don't give that cheer anyway. They're better people than me that can give that cheer. No, go listen to Rav Tatz giving it. Nobody ever. Rav Tatz took 4 years. I was with him for 4 years. It took him 4 years to be able to articulate that shir. It's a shir where you explain that you can't explain anything. It's explaining something that cannot be explained in words. You find out how you do that. You give a shir on something that cannot be expressed in words. He gave that shir. You have to listen to it. It's genius. And that opens you up to understanding a little bit of maybe where you'll find your own das. But the das bay kulube, if you have das, you have everything. With the das law bay, ma have you. If you don't have das, you have nothing. And in that place, you can understand. One, the word understanding isn't right either. You can understand how it can be that you live in an infinite world and you have Bechira. You have to cross that with your das. You can't expect that intellectually, you can't work that out. It doesn't make sense. It's a stirim in ayobe. There's a world that looks like a natural world, which is a mask that hides reality. You take off the mask, or Rabbi Chananel ben Dois and people like that do, so there's no point in Hashem wearing the mask anymore. He says, okay, you found me, here I am. You can have whatever you want. Ah, Rabbi Chananel ben Dois lived in abject poverty and davened for Panosa and mefanes the whole world, but he stayed objectively impoverished in a world where he could make oil, he could have made oil turn into gold and become a billionaire. Okay, so you've got questions. You stopped it from kashas. No one died from a kasha. But this, your sword, if you don't have this, your sword, you're missing the whole beginning and end of Torah. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Anoichi means there is nothing other than me. Okay. Yeah, this needs a lot of poshut. No, it's not poshut. The theory and the practice kind of disconnected a place. That's where we struggle. We struggle in the world of doubts. We live in a world of sfeikas. We have doubts. We don't know. We're not sure. In, where, what? Amalek, by the way, is gematria sophic. Because that's where the doubts go. That's a Yetzirah sowing those seeds of doubt all the time. And we struggle and battle, and you get up and you get knocked down and you take 3 steps forward and you take 2 back. The world we live in is riddled with these challenges. And as you get to a new level, the challenge gets harder. And you're struggling with this anoid milvada the whole time, hopefully. Otherwise, you're shakur b'tayvus habehemius, and then you don't have these problems. You know, like Einstein said, the problem, mathematical problems I have are much more difficult than yours. You get it? The higher you are in the place, the more difficult it is. Rav Chaim Kanievsky needs to look at a locust. The locust flies into his room. Bye-bye. And when he's finished, it flies away. And the next day, he needed it again. So it came back again. Bye-bye. When you live in that world, you live in that world. A woman came to Rebbetzin Kanievsky. She'd just come from the hospital. They did a scan and they said the baby, she was pregnant, the baby's dead. You need to do an abortion. She put her hand on the bad woman's tummy and she said, tell them they're talking nonsense. The baby's fine. Baby was born fine. There's somebody sitting in this place, Midrash, that the doctors, after all the scans, told them this baby is going to be born with this problem, this problem, this problem. It's not kedar to be born. They should do an abortion. Reb Chaim said the doctors don't know what they're talking about. I was the Sunday on the eighth day of that tour. Sitting here now, maybe you'll come later. Reb Chaim said, Reb Chaim didn't even look at the files. He didn't look at anything. He just said, they're talking nonsense. The baby will be fine. Maybe he had a small little problem with heart. They did some surgery after he was fine, but he just was his mind. Oh, the CT, whatever says, there's no heartbeat. They don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand that. Well, we know that there's different levels of reality in this world. So Hashem, there are people that fear Hashem have access to other realities. We need to know what our real is and what the ideal is. The ideal is there were no Nazis. What's my real? Plenty that guy that bumpy is going to get it. That next door neighbor who's making a noise at 11 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep, oh, he's going to get it. But you just said, I don't know what. Yeah, because I don't know what is nice for the base midrash. But in real life, I'm killing the guy. Yeah. That's where I'm holding. That's real, ideal process. Don't confuse the two. Real's real. That's where I am.
Feel nice.
Ideal is, okay. Ideal is I'm trying to get there. I'm in the direction. But you have to understand intellectually the real. Depends where you're holding. Again, there are no Nazis. There's no vinegar and there's no oil. Correct. But for somebody who was on a level with this, living this reality, you didn't see Nazis. But there was no Bechira. A Jew living in Kovno, when they came to take him away and kill him, when they came to take Rabbi Avraham and Rabbi Chanan to kill them, what Bechira did Rabbi Chanan have at the time? I'll tell you what Bechira he had. He told him to wait while he finished his shir. He was giving a shir on Hilchas Hadadah's Kiddush Hashem. Different versions of the story, whatever. I'm not going into the authenticity of the story. Rebbetzin Wolbe, Rav Wolbe's Rebbetzin was there. She saw it. She testified to this. He was giving a share on how to dial Kiddush Hashem. You're about to dial Kiddush Hashem. What are the halachos? You need to know the halachos. So he was teaching halachos. They came to take him away. He told him to wait while he finished his share. Then they took him away and they martyred him. That's his Bechira. That he was going to live or die. He was going to get killed or not. Why are Bechira there? So that wasn't the Nazis that killed him. Why do we say Yamachshmom? Why do we say Yamachshmom? Why are we upset with the Nazis? Because we don't hold there. We live in our real. In our real, you see a Nazi, kill him. Rav Gutzman killed a Nazi with his bare hands. Dayan Gutzman, the great Dayan Yisrael Gutzman, was the last of the Vilna Dayanim. He was a Dayan in the Vilna basin when he was 18 years old. The Chofetz Chaim stood up for him when he was 18 years old. Eventually, he moved to Israel. He had Yeshiva and Rechavia. And then people know him. He has Talmidim. His son-in-law runs the Yeshiva now. He wanted to join the Patterson's. He was in the, he'd run away from the Nazis, him and his wife and his daughter, and they were hiding out in the forest. And he wanted to join the Partisans. But to join the Partisans, you had to have a weapon. They wouldn't let you join if you didn't have a gun. So he was in the forest one day, and there was a Nazi who got lost or whatever from his troops. Rav Gutzman killed him with his bare hands. He said he was Makayim the Mitzvah Mechias Amalek with his hands. He took his gun and he joined the Partisans. Outside the yeshiva, he lived in the yeshiva, he had a flower bed, and he used to walk to the flowers every day. You know the story, it's a famous maisa. Why did he do that? The Bochrim said, we'll do it. He said, that's my job. And a chorus at Toiv, you know why? Before the war, Reb Chaim Oizer took him for a walk in the forest outside Vilna. And he said, you know, that's very poisonous, you mustn't touch that. Those are very good for this, that's a medicine for this. This has got a lot of nutrition. He gave him a shear in botany. He didn't know what was going on. But he remembered everything he taught him. He said they lived in the forest on that shear that Reb Chaim Oizer gave him. He knew what to eat, what not to eat, what medicines to take when they needed it. Reb Chaim Oizer gave him a whole shear on botany. few months later, the Nazis came and they took them, and he ran to the forest to hide away. After Corus Saktoy, to those plants that kept him alive, he had a little flower bed and he watered it every day. Yeah, you understand? That's greatness. But he killed a Nazi. Why kill a Nazi? It's all a shame. No, we don't live there. We live in the world of Shulchan Aruch. We'll deal with it in the last chapter here. We'll see how these two worlds intertwine.
Ideally, we should be there.
No, there's no should. You see, the minute you should, you're in the world of Christ. I would very much like to be there, but should is never a good thing because I don't know what I should or shouldn't be. I should be where I am now because that's where I am.
My plan is to be where I wouldn't even kill the Nazis, so I see a show.
Reb Shimon Bar Yochai would have killed him differently. He would have just looked at him and he would have crumbled into ashes. Reb Gutzman wasn't holding where Reb Shimon was, so he had to kill him with his hands. In if someone comes to kill you, you get up and kill him first. Why did you say Einod Mevodeh? By the way, Einod Mevodeh does work, by the way. If a person is genuinely holding on Einod Mevodeh, the Nefesh HaChaim says, nothing in the world can harm him. Nothing. Because you have to be holding there, not just going Einod Mevodeh, you know, while you're dancing on a bus with your guitar. You're singing Einod Mevodeh, they're all there. You have to mamash be holding in Einod Mevodeh. The Brisker Rov testified about himself that he was holding an Einod Mevodeh, and they went through every Nazi roadblock where people were getting tortured, killed, possessions taken away from them. The Brisker Rov sailed through every roadblock without being stopped because of Einod Mevodeh, until they stopped him once. They made them get out the wagon. As they got out the wagon, Briskerov's son, Reb Yoshepe, had a gold watch. Reb Yoshepe told the story. I heard this from Reb Pinkus, heard it from Reb Yoshepe, heard it from my Rebbe, heard it from Reb Yoshepe. They took his gold watch, very politely, of course. He was lucky to keep his hand, because if they wanted a watch, they would just chop off your hand and take the watch. That's what was going on, but they did it. The Briskerov stood aside, like aloof from everything, very deep in concentration. A few minutes later, some Nazi general came and said, what are you bothering these people for? Let them go. They gave him back his watch when he got back onto the wagon. We're talking about the Nazis in the middle of the Holocaust. They were going from Warsaw to Vilna. And the Germans knew the Jews were going to be escaping from Warsaw to Vilna. Vilna become a neutral zone. So they had roadblocks all the way. He never got stopped at one roadblock except that one. Afterwards, he said to his son, what was going on there? He said, I don't know. He said, my Einod Mevodeh slipped and they stopped us. I stood on the side and I got myself back to Einod Mevodeh and they let us go. You understand, we're very far from that ideal. If you think you're holding there, your mum is delusional. We have to know where we're holding. We have to know what the ideal is. And we have to slowly take small little steps in that direction. Not because I should, because I'd really like to serve Hashem better. What guards our hanhaga is Shulchan Aruch, not Einod Mevodeh. What guards our nachde is if someone comes to kill you, get up and kill him first. Then you can have a philosophical discussion afterwards about why did I have to kill him. He said, it was also Hashem, and it wasn't really him. And Hashem says in Shulchan Aruch, if someone comes to kill you, kill him first. If you have a sofek for Gurk Nefesh, get in your car and drive even on Shabbos. Yeah, but it's not really. No. If they're sending missiles and you have a mamad, you have to go into your mamad. Well, the missile can't hurt me. No. There's a Shulchan Aruch that says how you have to conduct yourself. That's how we conduct ourselves. And you have to know where you're holding. You're Rebbe Chanina ben Doiser. Okay. You put benzene in the generator instead of diesel on Shabbos. I don't know. Ask Shala what you should do. I don't know if you're a Bechanim and Dosa, the generator will work anyway. PlayStation, I don't know. You put paraffin in the cholent instead of oil. I don't know if your wife is Einod Mevodeh. I'm saying you have to know where you want it. So that's the two steers. There's a thing called Shulchan Aruch, Anagas HaMichpat, and then there's an Ochaz HaYichud. There's Hashem's infinite Yichud, which we have to learn in the last chapter, how those two must live with each other. I'm glad you raised that point. Very important point. You can disagree with me, I don't mind. Aval, that's the Yisod. Same as Panos and Ishtadlis. You make Ishtadlis, and you know it's got nothing to do with the Panosa. But you don't really believe that. Because you're not holding there. Your real is, I see a connection between my Ishtadlis and my Panosa. Intellectually, I know that's nonsense. But in the real world where I am, I see a connection. So I work slowly, delicately, one step at a time to break that connection, to slowly tease my ishtadlus away from the outcome. And Hashem gives you presence. You sometimes see, of course the ishtadlus is going to do the panosa. You see that? The aloch is you have to make ishtadlus. Yes, you conduct yourself according to Shulchan Aruch, not according to the philosophical. But if you're really holding there, first of all, why are you here then? If you're really holding there, you shouldn't be here. You should be giving sherim in Lederman or Ponovich. You're sitting here pretending to be a balabos. You're not really holding there. So live your life where you are. And never use the word should. It's abusive. If it's aimed at yourself, you're abusing yourself. And if it's aimed at somebody else, you're abusing them. I'd really like to get there, but should? Me, I should.